Subsequently, Catherine took another slide downhill. On 18th of February, 1933, at 9 p.m, she died at the age of 30. 2 days before her funeral, perhaps distracted by grief, her beloved father, William, fell down a flight of stairs at his Newark home. He was rushed to hospital, but just 1 week after Catherine died, she was joined on the other side by her dad. His funeral was held in the same church as Catherine's, and they were both buried in the Holy Sepulchre Cemetery. They were together, in the end, at the close of Catherine's long journey, of her adventure, as she herself put it. Catherine Sharp was just 14 when she'd started work with the Radium Company on that long-ago February day. She had dreamed of writing and of fulfilling her potential, and she did publish her work, and she did fulfil that potential. It was just that her destiny was not quite the one she'd dreamed of as a girl. In taking on the company, she became a celebrated example of standing up for your rights. Chapter 40. It could be worse, Grace Fryer thought. It really could be a lot worse. Just lately, in this July of 1933, Grace had become bedridden, unable to get about at all. But, as she kept telling herself, it really could be a lot worse. I feel better when I'm at home, she said brightly. I guess it's because I like home better than anything else. Grace's friend, Edna, shared her feelings about that. Home always makes me feel better, Edna commented. I have my good and bad days, but I can endure them when I'm home. Edna was doing very well, all things considered. Despite her crossed legs, she still managed to move about with the aid of a cane, calling on friends and even hosting bridge parties. She'd taken up crochet. It was something she could do for hours on end without leaving her chair. Although her spine was now affected by the radium, she kept her spirits up and even believed she would live quite a few years yet. Her optimistic attitude had a lot to do with Louis. He helps me so very, very much, she said quietly. Edna declared she never thought about her illness being fatal. What good would that do? She exclaimed. She was leaving things to fate. Albina Larice, meanwhile, found herself feeling surprised. She'd been expected to die before all the others, but here she was, 6 years on, still living. Catherine Sharp had died, and so had Albina's little sister, Quinta. But she was still here. It was a peculiar, confusing thing. As with Edna, Albina's spine had become affected, and she now wore a steel corset, but she was able to hobble about with her mouse-sized steps as long as she had a cane. Though she was only 37, Albina's hair, like Edna's before her, had turned entirely white. She was known to be less cheerful than Edna, but then she had lost far more. 3 children, 2 sisters. It was a terrible, tragic tally. But, thanks to her husband James's careful attentions, she was much happier these days than she had once been when she'd taken only to her bed and thought of how she might end the half-life she'd been given. I know they say, Albina said shyly, there is no hope of being cured, but I'm trying to hope there is. End of CD 9.